Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our guest today is Doug Cataldo. He is the head of marketing for the Huntley Public Library, and we want to welcome Doug back because he also brings us all the news, what's going on and what's taking place. Doug, welcome back.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm actually kind of happy to be a small portion of Huntley Radio's New Year's resolution. I heard that, you know, Ron Giordano bringing everybody the news on Saturday and Sundays is a big, big part of that resolution, and I'm happy to just be a small little part of that.
You know, you should tell the folks, I did not pay you to say that.
I'm just preaching what I hear on the radio, man.
So, Doug, tell us about the winter 2023-24. What's going on?
Well, we're halfway through, and it's a good little program there for the winter for people to keep reading and keep literacy on the mind. Whether you're a child, 0 to 12, or an adult, 18 and up, or even a teen that's just looking to win some prizes and have some fun while reading and keeping your mind fresh during the winter. The theme is very interesting this year. They try to come up with a lot of things. I've seen over the last probably 15 or 16 years, panda bears with mittens and different animals having fun with books, but this year it's gnomes, and the theme is everyone read no matter who you are. And if you come into the library, you'll see a bunch of gnomes around the library and decor that's appropriately themed for this program. But it seems that all ages are having fun with it. They're you know, we did a great event to close out 2023 where we had Santa at the library, and we had an early registration night, and nearly everybody that attended that event signed up that night. So it kicked off really well. And at the midway point, we're just hoping that people are enjoying it, and there's still time to participate if you're interested.
So, Doug, your winter reading challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you pick the winner for that?
So what happens is they have to tally up different tasks and minutes to read, and then accomplish certain goals within each program. And once they finish those goals, they get entered into a contest. And then at the end of February, they will choose, or at the end of January, rather, they'll choose the winners.
Okay, and do you have age groups?
Yeah, so like I said, it's there's three age groups. It'll be 0 to 12, 12 to 18, and 18 and up. And, it could be there's small prizes along the way, but then usually they're gift cards to local businesses or some of the restaurants in town. And people have been really responding to that. You know, they like it. I mean, if you could, you know, read a couple books and get a coupon for Morcus chocolates or something for Irie Tea, and we help publicize some of the local businesses, I see it a win-win for everybody.
Well, it's really nice the local businesses are participating and helping you out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's to some degree, we love our partnerships with them, but to some degree, the library actually has the Friends Foundation sponsoring these events. So we'll actually help the small businesses in turn by, you know, purchasing gift cards and certain things from them for the program.
So now, once you pick the winner, they get a prize, a gift certificate, or is that what they're going to receive?
Like a gift card or a gift certificate, yes.
Okay. And when does this whole time period take place?
So it's going on right now. Like I said, it's been about a month in so far, and it ends on January 31st, I believe. And then they'll do a drawing, and each age group will have some winners, and hopefully they'll enjoy their prize.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of fun. Do you have a lot of participants so far, Doug?
Yeah. Our summer reading program is usually the one that really resonates with the community, and it's kind of a larger scale program. Winter is a little more subdued, but you know, there's probably 400 or 500 people that are participating, and I think that's really good, especially when winter, you know, kids are in school and the holiday season is there. So to have that kind of participation when it is one of the busier seasons is really solid for us.
You know, to encourage kids to read is so important, as opposed to sitting
absolutely
in front of a TV with a video game. Having them read, because reading is beneficial to them as they grow through life.
Yeah, there's no question. And you know, we're seeing a whole different, I mean, I could get into a lot of demographic information, but people would fall asleep then. But the truth okay. is, you know, if you walk around town, you'll see strollers. And with the strollers, they have these built-in holders for tablets and screens and, you know, entertaining kids. And, you know, part of our job is to try to figure out where people are at and, you know, what they're into and what they like. And if we can put an audio book or a video story time on that tablet when they're doing it and introduce those young children to literacy and reading at a young age, that's a win for us. And, you know, the whole type of way to spread literacy in the community has changed. I mean, we have things now called Vox Books and Wonder Books, which are books that tell you the story. And they're traditional books where you can turn the pages and they have the words on them, but they tell you the story as you're reading the book. So it's you know, as technology advances, so does the library. We try to offer everything that we can to make sure that part of our mission statement, which is improving literacy in our community, is consistent.
You know, it shows you how times have changed. I can remember back when you went and looked something up, it was an Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right.
And you had to buy the whole set. You know, now you just go to Google and get whatever you want.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Last night I got home from work and I happened to turn on the TV. And there's a fantastic episode of Friends where Penn Jillette is trying to sell Joey Tribbiani encyclopedias. And, you know, he's going through this whole speech and, you know, it's probably 12 minutes of the 30-minute show. And right. finally Joey says, you know, I'm at home in the middle of the day and I have lawn chairs as my furniture. I can't afford that. And, you know, and then he finds a 50 in his pocket and winds up buying one book. And I kind of like shuddered and laughed, you know, out loud, because I'm thinking like, you know, our whole goal is to make sure that you don't have to spend $50 to get that encyclopedia. But you know, it's funny because people think, you know, all the books in our library, some people think they're donated, or some people think, you know, they're gifted to us by the publishers. That's not true. You know, we apply for grants to get funding for the books and the materials that you see in the library. But it really struck me funny that, you know, one issue of the Encyclopedia Britannica was $50. I couldn't stop laughing.
Right. And if you have one right now, it's a collectible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's if we get them donated to the Friends Foundation's book sales, I'm not sure if they even take them anymore. I got to be honest. It's crazy. But we do have tons of reference material and books like that. But a lot of it went online and it made it easier. So you don't have to carry those 50-pound books with you.
We're going to pause for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we're spending time here with Doug Cataldo, the head of marketing for the Huntley Public Library. Doug, you know, going back to Encyclopedia Britannica, it's amazing that how that evolved from what it was to where we are today. And still, the work you have to put in to encourage kids to read, because reading is so important as opposed to just the video games. I mean, you can have the video games, but you need to read books, too.
Yeah, we have a lot of young families in Huntley, and it's evident. I mean, if you walk into our children's area anytime, you'll see that there's, you know, young moms or young dads or full families coming in there, and they're looking for books and they're looking for materials, whether it's and there are video games in that room. But when you see young families come in, they just set up some new displays for them to find book series. So whether it's, you know, Peppa Pig or, you know, the Muppets or whoever they like, you know, Curious George, Bluey. Our goals, you know, to try to get those books into people's hands is to make them easy to find. And that's, you know, that's just as important as making sure we have the right books in the collection. So, you know, they do a great job. I mean, our children's department has stepped up over the last year since we reopened in February just to deliver quality programming for those families and young children to get them introduced to reading, whether it's a story time or a yoga class or different things to initiate, you know, that introduction to literacy. So equally, like you said, it's important, but getting people into the building is the start of that.
You know, Doug, I think people don't understand, and maybe it might be a good time to share with them the books you bring in.
Yeah.
You have to purchase those books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I mentioned a little earlier, you know, we apply for some grants every year, and one of the main ones is called the per capita grant, and that's based on your population, and a lot of that funding goes to the purchase of materials. And yeah, absolutely, you know, do we get books donated? Yeah. Do the ones that get donated go into our collection? Not necessarily. They usually will go to a book sale or for our corner books area where people can purchase a new or gently used book, which is fantastic because that's the highest fundraiser that the Friends Foundation, who is our organization that raises funds to help support the library's mission. It's great. But yeah, we have to purchase everything. So if you check out a Roku, if you check out a DVD, if you check out, books or movies or music, yeah, those things are purchased.
So for the folks out there, when you look at what books you should purchase,
yeah,
so you have to have some kind of a plan that says, okay, what are the next batch of books we want to purchase? How do you pick those books?
That's a great question. So I'm going to give you the best answer I can because I'm not in purchasing, but I do work with those people quite frequently, and they're awesome. The selectors do a great job. I mean, and it's a variety of ways. So it's looking at lists, basically, of upcoming materials that are coming out. It's looking at lists of bestsellers and solid authors. It's looking at suggestions from companies like Goodreads. There's a whole kind of schematic that they use to kind of pick and choose what they purchase. And then every once in a while, they'll delve into their own, kind of vibe and pick things that they believe have proven popular in the past, if that trend is still trending, to bring materials more like that in as well. So, and then on top of it, it's following, you know, where technology is and what different things are available. And I had mentioned Vox and Wonder Books earlier. Those are some of our most popular things right now because it gives children the power that maybe can't enunciate or pronounce words properly at their age, or even read that word because it's a longer word. They get the ability to have the book in their hands and see it on the page and have someone else read it to them. The book will actually read it to them. And then that word becomes part of their vernacular and they can take it to the next level. And we're starting to see younger readers, people reading earlier in their lives because of this. And that's again, just something that's incredible to see.
Well, the next big challenge is how do you then sort books out saying, okay, these are no longer needed? I mean, that's got to be a tough task.
That's called weeding, and it is an art. And you got to look through statistics and you go through and look at our numbers of circulation. And when you see an item doesn't circulate as much as another item, and I don't know the exact specific time, I could probably find out though. But if it doesn't circulate after a certain amount of days or weeks or years, they will weed that item out of the collection and it will be discarded and then either provided to the Friends Foundation for the book sale, or a lot of times if we have some things that don't sell after a while, we'll donate those to Goodwill.
So we should then talk about the Library Lovers Expedition.
Fantastic program. I'm excited to see how it does this year. It started off 2 years ago, and they had we had in our library alone, we had over 700 visitors come through from different McHenry County libraries just to see our library. And I think, the beauty of that for us was we were one of the newer ones, so we had a lot to show off, and it was really exciting. And I didn't know what to expect the second year in 2023, but we had over 1,100 people come through. So it was really impressive to see that many people interested in all of the McHenry libraries and visiting and seeing what's different and what each one has to offer. And in 2024, I think it's going to be bigger. They added a couple of really big libraries, Barrington area being one of them, which is just a humongous, beautiful, well-funded library. So I look forward to seeing if that number can increase for 2024.
Well, you get this Lovers Expedition going from February 1 to March 30th for all ages. So how does that work, Doug?
So what's cool about this is no matter where you live in McHenry County, or even if you don't live in McHenry County and you'd like to visit these libraries, there's going to be a list online, and you'll be able to find it in our newsletter. If you read our whole story newsletter, you'll be able to find the information on our website very shortly, and all the other participating libraries as well. There's a Facebook group dedicated to it, so if you look up Library Lovers Expedition in Facebook, you'll be able to find it. And it started off with 11. I think it grew to 13, and then this year I think there's a few more than that. Basically, you could just pop into one of the libraries, and they're going to give you what they call a brag tag and some kind of a chain or wristband or necklace, and you'll be able to get a brag tag every library you go to. But that's just kind of like a little bit of incentive. The real treat is really seeing the different libraries in McHenry County, and you'll see some of them are smaller, you know, maybe 15,000 square feet. Some of them are 75,000 square feet. So, you know, you'll see the difference. And what it really does is it gives you great insight. If you're a library lover and you use our library, specifically Huntley, and there's something that we're not doing that you see maybe at one of these other libraries, it gives you the opportunity to kind of experience it. But also you can make a suggestion and say, hey, I saw this at this library. Can we bring this to our library? And we've got some great feedback over the years, some really great coverage from McHenry County Life. And it's been one of those things that when libraries collaborate, good things happen. And this is one of them.
That's great. You want to tell the folks about your foreign policy roundtable coming up January 16th?
Yeah, this is really cool, actually. So it's one of our newer programs, and we're talking about library lovers. Well, there was a true library lover, and her husband were two tremendous Huntley residents, and I'm not sure, Ron, if you've been here long enough to know Carol and Wayne Donahue, but they were longtime residents, and both served the library. Carol was, you know, instrumental in one of our first book clubs that celebrated their 35th anniversary recently. And they just dedicated a lot of time doing story times and different things and using the library. They were there every day, and it was awesome. Well, when she passed away, her family dedicated a memorial to her, and we took the memorial and created the Carol Donahue Memorial. And what this program does is it brings in some prominent speakers, prominent programming, a little bit more, maybe mature than some of the other things we do in the library. And the Foreign Policy Roundtable is one of them. And that's going to take place on Tuesday, January 16th. And if you're, you ever have a concern or questions about foreign policy in the United States, this is really a great program to attend.
So that'd be like boys and girls from about age of 18 on up?
Yeah, absolutely.
And adults as well?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, they started doing some of the Carol Donahue programs, I want to say a little more than a year ago. They've all been pretty well attended, and they're just, the topics are some unique things that maybe, they vary quite a bit from the traditional library program, and it's very cool to see that happening.
So this one happens to be foreign policy, but yeah, the next one could be something different.
Absolutely. Yep. And if you keep your eyes on the Whole Story newsletter, which is our publication that goes out to every home in the Huntley area, you can kind of keep track of the different events.
And how about your website, Doug?
Yeah, share that absolutely. Again? That's huntleylibrary.org, and you can find out the latest information, especially with what I hear is coming tomorrow. If we're going to be open or closed, that's the first place you should check.
Let's give that website one more time.
Sure, it's huntleylibrary.org.
Now, how about newspapers online? You want to tell us about that, how that works with the library?
So, you know, we talk about things that are happening at the library, and one of the biggest things is our room usage. And the numbers keep going up as we have study rooms and program rooms. But in another area where the library has seen a significant, significant impact, we have offered digital versions and physical versions of all of our local newspapers for a long, long time. So, you know, we have the Daily Herald and the Northwest Herald and Chicago Sun-Times, you know, and we have all of those. And recently, though, a lot of people have been asking for some of the more prominent papers across America. So we have newspapers.com, too, so you can see all of those. But in the last 6 months, we added USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times. And our viewership and the views of these papers jumped 1,000%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with the economy right now. Subscriptions to some of those services are getting higher. And you have free access. If you have a Huntley Area Public Library card, you have digital access to all of those newspapers.
Well, I think that happens because the local newspapers are fine and people enjoy that. But you're getting national news with the Times, the
right.
USA Today, and the Wall Street. You're getting national and international news, which sometimes the locals don't carry. So I can understand why that would jump like it did.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to see. And, you know, we have a great team that kind of selects our digital resources. And when we see something's not working, they go out of their way to try to find something that will. And bringing in these three has had some significant impact.
So if you want to read any of those papers,
yeah.
What's the availability of you know, the library to be able to accommodate a lot of people?
That's a great question. So we have physical copies, and you can come in and sit by the fireplace, and it's lit right now if you want to warm up and be cozy. But for the digital version, I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people think that our digital library kind of works the same as our physical library. And in some cases, that's true. Like if you're downloading some ebooks from a Libby or one of our Digital Library of Illinois books, they actually have a checkout and check-in period digitally. But with the newspapers, it's good to go. You log in, you get your library card, you'll go to our website, which is huntleylibrary.org. If you click on online resources, you'll be able to see all of the different resources. If you click on newspapers and articles, you'll see what's available. And once you click on that, in some cases, you may have to set up an account, which is free, with your library card. In some cases, you just click on it and read, and they're available to you when you need them.
So I want to go back. You said by the fireplace, if you're reading.
Yeah.
Do you get hot chocolate with that?
You know, if we could figure out a way to do that and not have them spill it all over the library, I think it would be a total plus. You know,
and don't forget the marshmallows.
Maybe a Keurig machine or something out there. We'll have to work on that. I mean, we do have a vending machine, so they could potentially get, you know, a drink or a coffee or something like that. But yeah, maybe we might have to work out something for the winter where we could do hot chocolate.
Doug, what have you seen over the last few years as far as participation in the library, the number of people? Has that grown?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that was awesome is we had this really weird flux, you know, because we had a very unique situation. I'm not sure if people that haven't been in our building for a while are aware of, but, you know, we went from a 15,000 square foot facility to like a 36,000 square foot facility. And we did it in a way that was really just bizarre to me. And it was the only way we could do it, but it was bizarre. We had to take everything out of the 15,000 square foot building and move it once the other part of the building was completed.
Right.
So we took 15,000 square foot worth of things and brought them over to the new area. Then they renovated the 15,000 square foot. So then we had to bring everything back. And
okay.
So it was unique, you know, and during that time, you know, we only had half a building for the entire duration until February of 2022. So once we opened, I mean, it was like gangbusters. I mean, I've never experienced something like that, because this was our first, you know, referendum where we were actually able to expand. And what I've seen just, you know, from February to now, as people are finding out more, and, you know, that's my job, is to make sure they are informed. And I do everything, you know, from writing press releases to making sure, you know, the information is available to the public in every, you know, possible way. But we also go to Sun City, you know, and meet with all the neighborhoods, and we just met with the computer club to talk about what's available now. And once that kind of permeates through the community, we've watched, you know, our rooms, like I said, the number of usage of our study rooms and our collaborative room and our conference room and our program room, they're constantly being used. There's not a time where you're going to find at least one of those three program rooms being used constantly every day from the time we open to the time we close. Our study rooms are full. Our quiet room is getting more usage. And I love seeing that, because that was the intent. You know, when we built the building, we kind of saw a change in the way people use the library. And of course they want materials and books, but some people's needs change. They need like a second place to go, you know, whether they have a small business or they need to study or collaborate. And it's quiet, exactly. And there's a little privacy in there, and it's free. So, it's astronomical, and I love it.
You know, Doug, the way the community's growing and more housing coming in, I wouldn't be surprised if you have to expand again.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that, Ron. I'll tell you what, though. My boss might differ from my perspective, and our board might differ from my perspective, but I think if we were to expand again, it would probably be a branch. I don't think we'd add on to the existing building.
Okay.
Because, we would be able to facilitate that growth closer to where the growth would be.
You know, folks, I think you can hear the excitement in Doug's voice that what's happening there, what's taking place at library is just nothing but good vibes, good things. People are enjoying what they're doing, what they're seeing, what they're bringing to the community. It says a lot, because when you go there, you're going to be able to satisfy your needs, sit in a quiet place and read and enjoy yourself. And I think Doug has worked very hard in a marketing standpoint to make sure you have all these extra things that libraries can offer that some don't offer, but it's offered here because of Doug's work and the work of the library staff.
Thank you. And it is. It's a team effort. You know, I love that you want to give me credit for that, but honestly, it's a team effort. We have, you know, a variety of different people doing a variety of different things to make sure that we live up to our mission statement, which is explore endless opportunities.
Well, folks, you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and Doug Cataldo has been visiting with us from the head of marketing for the Huntley Public Library. He'll be back again in about 3 months to give us an update. Until then, we want to thank you for listening. We hope that you go to our website and look up our shows, and have a great day and stay warm. Thank you.